Velkommen ombord på flyet direkte fra Kingston til København.
Du lytter til Fra Kingston til København, din podcast om dansk reggae-historie, med Jørn Skipper Husum og Lars Rofnick Larsen. Mine damer og herrer, det er en stor fornøjelse at byde velkommen til Danmarks eneste reggae-historie-podcast med dine værter, Lars Rofnick Larsen og undertegnet Jørn Skipper Husum. I dagens afsnit bliver du klædt på til kommende koncerter og events. Du får en quiz, og så kan du høre min italiener, der flyttede til Grønland og startede et succesfuldt reggae-band. Mit navn er Jørn Skipper Husum, og du lytter til Fra Kingston til København.
I Haile Selassies navn, fra Kingston til København.
Velkommen til, Lars.
Tusind tak, tusind tak.
Hvordan står det til hos dig?
Det står rigtig fint til. Jeg er jo snart pensionist.
Ja, du kører...
Det glæder jeg mig til.
Ja, det er, du kigger mod enden af et langt og et godt arbejdsliv.
Næsten 47 år i PostNord.
Det er imponerende.
Tidligere Post Danmark, tidligere Post- og Telegrafvæsenet.
Tidligere stentavle og mejsel.
Ja. Ved du godt, at det vilde er faktisk, at her for, da Posten havde 400 års jubilæum sidste år, der fik vi sådan en plakat sådan med forskellige nedslag på hvad der er sket i løbet af historien. I 1700-tallet, i 1700 et eller andet, der havde postbudene pistoler med ud. De kørte jo i hestevognen formentlig, diligence eller hvad det hed, og så har der formentlig været landevejsrøver på vejen, der har forsøgt at snuppe brevene og pakkerne. Så har de simpelthen haft en pistol med ud. Så siger, hvad for noget? Du skal ikke tage min post. Jamen, det synes jeg er ret vildt, faktisk.
Det er ret vildt. Du skal da have et job inde på Post- og Telegrafvæsenets museum.
Ja, ja.
Har de ikke lavet det gamle Østerbro til
jo, der hvor jeg museum? Startede i 1978, der er Post- og Telegrafmuseum nu. Ja. Det hedder vist Enigma, tror jeg, okay. Det hedder.
Ja.
En anden vild ting omkring det der, hvor mange år jeg har været der. Jeg har været næsten 47 år her. Vi sidder nu her i april måned, og i den 15. maj har jeg været der i 47 år. Det vil sige, at jeg har været der over en tiende del af den tid, Posten har eksisteret. Det er jo vildt, ikke?
Ja. Det er sgu vildt, Lars.
Ja, det er sgu vildt nok. Det er det.
Ja. Det er, det er jo en menneskealder, du har været
der. Ja, det er det. Det er det. Så, men jeg glæder mig nu her til at stoppe og komme til at nyde livet og hygge mig. Høre endnu mere musik, jeg gør i forvejen. Nyde livet, det bliver skønt. Det gør det.
Det er imponerende,
så,
Lars. Det
bliver så fedt. Det gør det. Så... Ja, så det glæder jeg mig til.
Og måske til at lave nogle flere fra Kingston til København.
Det er der også masser af tid til fremover, ja.
Fordi så. I dag, der skal det simpelthen handle om reggae i Grønland. Og det er nu egentlig ikke fordi, at vi har valgt at være politiske inline med, hvad der sker ude i verden. Det er, for at være helt ærlig, lidt en tilfældighed, at vi er kommet over den her historie, som vi skal høre om i dag. Nemlig, som jeg har sagt, et grønlandsk reggae-orkester, og ikke bare et hvilket som helst reggae-orkester, men et ret succesfuldt reggae-orkester.
Jeg glæder mig helt vildt til det her. Jeg glæder mig altid til de gæster, vi får ind, og vi skal interviewe dem, men jeg glæder mig ekstra meget til det her afsnit, fordi at jeg for første aner jo intet om reggae i Grønland, og det bliver virkelig, virkelig spændende at høre om, hvad der sker, og om der er en reggae-scene i Grønland, og hvor mange reggae-bands der er, og jeg ved, vores rigtig gode ven Jan, som også er fra Grønland, siger, at der er masser af reggae i Grønland, og masser af reggae-bands i Grønland. Så det håber jeg, at vores gæst kan fortælle os lidt mere om, og så selvfølgelig deres eget projekt, som du siger, er rigtig, rigtig succesfuldt. Og jeg læste lidt om, at det er blevet deres album er blevet streamet i over 100 lande. Så selvom de synger på grønlandsk, har de tilsyneladende meget bred appel, så det bliver vildt spændende at høre.
Og lige for at spice den lidt op, så er det faktisk en italiener, som kommer og fortæller om det her grønlandske reggae-band, og akkompagneret af Troels, som er vores gode ven og keyboardspiller i både Fizzy Crew og også i det her grønlandske reggae-band, og en fremragende musiker. Lars, vi starter med endnu en kedelig nyhed. Max Romeo er død.
Ja, desværre.
Hvad husker du Max Romeo for?
Jeg husker ham som en af de allerstørste. En sangskriver, som jeg vil sige, skriver sig ind i historien af store amerikanske sangskriver. Hans album fra 70'erne, War in a Babylon, er et mesterværk og en klassiker i genren, og er helt sikkert på min top 10 over de bedste reggae-albums nogensinde. Produceret af Lee Scratch Perry i Black Ark-studiet med den berømte Black Ark-lyd. Mm. Ja, et fremragende album med sange som titelnummer War in a Babylon, One Step Forward, og så hans vel nok største hit, Chase the Devil.
Og vi kigger lidt frem, fordi nu lovede vi, at vi jo beholder den her med og tale lidt om, hvad sker der i den næste måned, eller fremover af koncerter, begivenheder, events osv. Vi starter den 1. juni inde på loppen. Der er Culture og Ejtjermann Levi. Culture med Kenyatta Hill.
Joseph Hills søn.
Det er Link Up Bookings, som står for den her koncert. Link Up Bookings, som man kender fra senest fra Den Grå Hal, hvor de var arrangøren derinde. Og også fra Copenhagen Reggae Festival i august sidste år, ude på Refshaleøen. Det skal du ind og se, det skal jeg også ind og se. Det glæder mig meget til.
Ja, det glæder mig også rigtig meget til. Ja.
Prøv lige at fortælle lidt om Culture kender de fleste selvfølgelig, og jeg synes, Kenyatta Hill holder jo liv i den måde, Joseph Hill både synger på, er på scenen og hans musik. Ejtjermann Levi, han har også sin helt særlige måde at synge på.
Ja, og også en meget dygtig sangskriver, vil jeg sige, og han... hvad skal man sige, han er ikke sådan, det er selvfølgelig traditionelt reggae, men han gør det lidt på sin egen måde, synes jeg. Sådan meget, meget melodisk og nogle gange nærmest symfonisk, nogle af de ting, han har lavet, i hvert fald nogle af de første ting, han laver. Mm. Og en af ting, jeg altid godt kunne lide ved den måde, han synger på, man synes, man føler sig beroliget, når man hører Ejtjermann Levi.
Ja.
Sådan virkelig behagelig stemme.
Det er meget spirituelt.
Ja, meget spirituelt netop, og nærmest symfonisk, som sagt, i hvert fald på nogle af hans tidlige ting.
Jeg husker et nummer for, som det nummer, han lavede, som hedder Jah Heavy Load.
Ja,
et fantastisk nummer.
Fantastisk nummer, ja.
Ja. Som meget sjælefuldt.
Ja, og som vi formentlig, eller næsten med garanti, får lov til at høre, det er den første sjæle. Ja.
Han er jo blevet en ældre herre, må vi sige.
Jeg tror, han er 79, ja.
Ja.
Så man stillgående slung, heldigvis.
Ja. Så det er altså inde på loppen, den første sjæle, det skal man altså tage ind og se. Så er der Aarhus Reggae Festival. Det er der den 15. til den 17. august. Det er på Vauxhall i Aarhus, og det er aarhusianske Jam Link, altså Hensel, som arrangerer det. Og det, man kan opleve derinde, det er jo altså også nogle gode numre, eller nogle gode acts. Farfar kommer. Det må siges at være måske det største navn, de får. Så kommer Chuck Fender. Dem kender vores lyttere, eller ham kender vores lyttere, sandsynligvis også, han har optrådt i København tidligere. Så kommer der en, der hedder Teacher D og Don Tipper. Og det er altså i Aarhus den 15. til den 17. august. Jamlink, husk at tjekke det ud inde på Facebook. Der kan man læse meget mere om de her artister. Den 21. juni i Den Grå Hal, der bliver Natasha hyldet med en 50-års minikoncert, Lars.
Ja, Natasha fyldte jo 50 år i oktober sidste år.
Ja.
Eller ville have fyldt 50, hvis hun havde været i live. Ja.
Ja. Ja. Ja. Og der er stadigvæk nogle acts, der lige skal blive confirmed, men hold jer opdateret også inde på Facebook. Det er Caribbean Culture Drop, som arrangerer det, så sørg for at lige holde øje med, hvem der, når det bliver udgivet, hvem der optræder derinde. Så det var det. Nu er det blevet tid til, at vi skal have en quiz. Lars, vil du stille det første spørgsmål? Jeg har læst op på lektien. Jeg har sådan prøvet at finde ud af, hvad vil du spørge om, hvad er aktuelt lige nu. Så jeg håber, jeg har sådan forberedt mig rigtigt og ordentligt.
Okay.
Men lad os høre.
Ja, men du får mit spørgsmål her. Og apropos Max Romeo, så drejer spørgsmålet sig også om Max Romeo. Så du er forberedt?
Så er jeg forberedt.
Det er godt. Hans føromtalte fantastiske album, War in a Babylon, hvilket år er det fra? Er det fra 1975, 1976 eller 1977?
Tak. Yes. Du får et svar lige om lidt.
Ja, tak.
Og mit spørgsmål handler sørme også om Max Romeo. Har du forberedt dig?
Ikke rigtigt.
Men Lars, din vidensbank er så stor, at jeg tænker, du ved det.
Uuse.
Alligevel.
Ja.
I slutningen af 70'erne udgav Max Romeo albumet Reconstruction, efter han stoppede samarbejdet med Lee Scratch Perry. Hvad var navnet på det studie, hvor han indspillede det album, og hvilket backing band brugte han?
Ja. Får jeg nogle muligheder?
Er spørgsmålet forstået?
Ja. Og ingen valgmuligheder?
Nej.
Okay.
Så efter samarbejdet med Lee Scratch Perry lavede han Reconstruction. Hvilket studie indspillede han det i, og hvilket backing band brugte han?
Okay.
Okay?
Ja.
Righty. Med det, så lukker vi quizzen for nu, og så springer vi direkte ud i...
Lars Larsen anbefaler.
Og i dagens sørgelige anledning omkring Max Romeo, er det nu blevet tid til mine anbefalinger. Men heldigvis har vi jo stadigvæk hans musik, som jo vil leve for evigt. Og jeg har taget det, som jeg mener er de tre bedste Max Romeo-albums nogensinde. I hvert fald efter min mening, mine favoritalbums. Og jeg har taget selvfølgelig, før jeg nævnte, War in a Babylon.
Når den fra, Lars?
Der var da hurtigt det. Det kan jeg ikke huske. Ja, men som sagt, med alle de klassiske sange, og jeg gentager det bare endnu en gang, det er en klassiker og et mesterværk, simpelthen. Så har jeg taget en opsamling fra det hedengangne pladeselskab Blood and Fire.
Og i øvrigt nogle sange på det album, som er blevet brugt i mange andre genre og sammenhænge, samlet helt...
Altså, ja, blandt andet Chase the Devil er blevet samlet rigtig præcis. Meget. Ja, netop. Så det er jo bare...
For at sætte det i perspektiv, ja, hvor populært det album er, ikke? Ja. De sange, ja.
Blood and Fire udgav jo i 90'erne en masse albums med reggae fra 70'erne. Og de har udgivet et album her, der hedder Open the Iron Gate med Max Romeo, med indspillinger fra 1973 til 1977. Og der ligger også rigtig, rigtig mange gode numre på. Endda måske, selvom at, som sagt, at War in a Babylon er et mesterværk, så ligger det, som jeg synes måske er det bedste nummer, han nogensinde har lavet. Det ligger på den her opsamling. Det er det nummer, der hedder Melt Away, og det er en 12-tommer version. Tjek det ud. Jeg tror desværre ikke, at det findes på streamingtjenesterne, men det burde være til at finde måske på Discogs. Max Romeo, Open the Iron Gate, 1973-1977. Og det sidste album, jeg vil anbefale med Max Romeo, er et album, der hedder Horror Zone fra 2016. Og... Max Romeo, de sange, han skrev, var jo sådan, som han så verden. Og det var ofte sådan lidt dystert og lidt mørkt. Og perspektivet gennemgående på det album er nogle meget dystre sange og dystre tekster. Og musikken er også meget dyster og mørk. Men samtidig er det nogle fremragende sange. Altså for eksempel i det første nummer. Den første linje i det første nummer. What if I tell you the world is in trouble? Så er stilen ligesom lagt resten af albumet igennem. Der er sange som titelnummer Horror Zone, en sang, der hedder The Sound of War. Og så er der en sang, som hedder Cigarette. Og hvis nu jeg var en ryger, der gerne ville stoppe med at ryge, så ville jeg altså sætte den der sang på. Jeg vil tro, de virker meget bedre end alle mulige rygestopkurser. Altså, han advarer virkelig, virkelig om farene ved at ryge i den der sang. Han synger blandt andet, at han havde en god ven, som han igen og igen forsøgte. Til at holde op med at ryge, og han endte på kirkegården. Så den altså, hvis du er der ryger, og man har problemer med det, og man gerne vil holde op med, og har problemer med det, så kan jeg anbefale at lytte til Cigarette med Max Romeo.
Vi tager billeder af dine fantastiske anbefalinger, Lars, og lægger den op på vores Instagram. Og med det så lukker vi altså Lars Larsen anbefaler for den her gang. Tak skal du have, Lars. Og nu er det blevet tid til at få svar på quizspørgsmålene. Og du spurgte mig, hvilket år War in a Babylon
er fra
albumet. Og der var tre muligheder.
Ja, 1975, 1976 eller 1977.
Det var to år inden VM i Argentina, hvor Osvaldo Ardiles var jo kæmpes. Så det er 1976.
Det er rigtigt.
Det er rigtigt. Fantastisk. Tak skal du have, Lars. Og jeg spurgte dig, efter Lee Perry, eller efter hans samarbejde med Lee Perry, der indspillede han det næste album, i hvilket studie og med hvilket band. Og jeg vil gå så langt, som at sige, hvis du kan begge, giver det 2 point.
Okay.
Så hvilket studie og hvilket backing band brugte han?
Jeg må indrømme, jeg ved det ikke, så det bliver et gæt. Så jeg vil gætte det i Channel One, og det er Revolutionaries.
Det er for det rigtige svar for Channel One.
Ja.
Ja. Og det er det rigtige svar fra Revolutionaries.
Okay, det var...
Det er
altså godt gættet, ikke? Det vil jeg sige. Jeg vidste ikke, og det...
Det er helt rigtigt.
Det var et kvalificeret gæt.
Ja, men det var nemlig meget kvalificeret. Ja. Godt gået, Lars.
Tak.
Du kan dine ting. Det var det. Endnu en gang velkommen til, og rigtig god fornøjelse med dagens afsnit. So we are gathered 4 people in the kitchen right now, and our guest Fabricio has arrived. Welcome, Fabricio.
Thank you.
And we have Lars Rofnick.
I'm here as well.
as we know,
as always.
And as always, and we have Tools. Welcome, Tools.
Thank you.
And Fabricio, now in our intro, we were talking about an Italian guy coming to Greenland and doing this Greenland Reggae Orchestra, which had immediate success. But first of all, let's go a little bit back in time and tell us the story, where you come from, your music background, and how you came to Greenland.
I came to Greenland. Well, of course, I'm Fabrizio. I'm Italian, right? Born in Torino. So 61 years ago. Music background, mostly jazz and blues.
Mm.
But I always loved reggae. June 1980, I saw at the Stadio Comunale of Torino, I saw Bob Marley live.
That's a legendary concert.
Legendary concert.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, he blew me away. And I always have reggae in my heart. Italians, they are very much into reggae, I have to say. There are a lot of bands, a lot of... it's a underground culture, reggae, very much. And so it goes very strong. Mm. And I always like the, you know, the pulse, the drum and bass of reggae always excite me, make me move. And
it didn't get any much better than Aston and Carlton Barrett when you heard Bob Marley in 1980.
No, I don't think
it doesn't get better than that.
I don't think it gets better than that. No, absolutely not. Actually, I went last year. I went to see Ziggy Marley.
Yeah,
he proposed at the Stoa Vega.
Yeah.
He proposed a set list of his father.
Yeah, I was at that
you
concert
were
as well. Yeah,
amazing,
yeah, amazing, absolutely yes. Amazing.
Amazing musician, amazing music.
Yeah, and another great drummer, Carlton Santa
absolutely,
Davis.
Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Great musicians, great. Absolutely, yeah. Yes, yes.
So, back in the days in Italy and a lot of reggae, but also some other genres that you that you like to listen to.
Yes, yes. I was very much into fusion, jazz, and.
Do you play yourself?
I play myself. Yes.
Okay.
I'm a musician.
Yeah. What instrument?
Guitar and bass.
Okay.
I play.
Yeah.
So and a little of mouth harp and all the different kind of. I like steel lap guitar, slide guitar, and. I start to travel very young with music, and I left Italy because it was a little, it was not my place, honestly.
Okay.
And I end up in Denmark, Canada, and then I went 30 years ago, I landed in Greenland for the first time to play music.
So with a jazz band or blues band?
We were a jazz band, we were an entertaining band.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were doing, we just came from Japan, Hilton Hotel, 6 months.
Well, you played every night or?
Every night, yeah. Yes, every day. Dinner music.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a shock in Greenland. We didn't know anything about Greenland, of course. And 30 years ago, Greenland was like, Do you remember the scene of the movie Blues Brothers when they go and play in this country club?
Yes,
where country bunker.
Where there is the chicken wire, and they are wondering what is the chicken net for, and then they figure it out, of course. That was our first gig in Nuuk. It was incredible, man.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I fell in love with the country, and I stayed for a while. We all liked it. I mean, Greenlandic people, they are also amazing. They are so warm and so nice. And then I moved on and came back for good like 12 years ago. And since then, I have been in Greenland.
So you live in Greenland now?
Yes, I live in Greenland. I have a studio. I make music there.
Okay. So coming back to Greenland with the mindset of staying there for good and doing music? Or was it just another visit, planning to go elsewhere afterwards?
No. I decided to stay.
Okay. Yes. Was this where the reggae band was formed?
Not that year. It was formed actually in... It's a long story. To make it short, I used to smoke a lot of dope. A lot. I mean, crazy a lot. And I decided to stop. And it was I lost one of my best friends. Mm. I have been smoking for 40 plus years. And then I said, and now what? I have a studio. Okay, let me do some music. I always write like reggae. So I sit down and start to write songs. And I write, in 1 month, I made roughly 15 songs. They were cool. I liked them. I didn't have any lyrics. I didn't have a band.
So you just write the music? Do you also write lyrics sometimes? Just the music?
Yes.
All right.
And I was like, should I write it in English? Should I write it in Greenlandic? How? And then one of my good friends, Minik Hansen, it's his name. He's a poet in Greenland. He said, but I can try to write the lyrics. So that he was the first part of the Sour Story. Mm. And then slowly Jonas joined us. He was a drummer. And then we got the lead singer and the rapper. It has been a process. It took me approximately 4 years to find all the members of the band.
All the members from the band from Greenland?
60% are from Greenlandic, yes.
And some here from Denmark as well?
Troels is...
Troels, who's sitting beside us right now.
Yes, he's Danish. And Christopher Juhl, an amazing organ player. He's from Copenhagen as well. And, of course, I am Italian, living in Greenland. And the drummer is Jonas Nilsson, and he's Danish, but he's living in Greenland.
All right.
Yes.
How is the reggae scene in Greenland?
There's not a reggae scene.
No?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, we are the reggae scene now.
Yeah.
Yes.
But our friend, we talked about him in the intro, Jan, he's a good friend of ours, and he's also from Greenland. He said that there's a lot of reggae tunes made in Greenland, but maybe not... especially reggae bands, but many bands, they have a reggae tune in their repertoire.
Yes, that's partially correct, yes. There is a couple of, that I know, there is a famous, there is a band called Inua that made one tune which resemble, there is a guitar very much off beat, which is pretty much, reggae. And then another band called Alut, that is playing, they just released lately a reggae album. Yeah, but even our music is not completely, I wouldn't define it absolutely reggae. It has so many influences. I mean, if a root lover of reggae listen to our album, say, okay. Yes.
Partially reggae.
Yeah, yeah. Partially reggae. Yes. Yeah.
So when you started to do live jobs in Greenland,
yes,
how did the audience, you know, receive your music?
Oh, the audience, they went amok for our music.
Yeah?
Oh, yes.
They went pretty crazy.
They were pretty crazy.
Tell us about some episodes where you felt, okay, this is crazy.
Well, the first gig we played, I played with him.
Akus Wanarit.
And we, just to make you an example, they never heard us before. We didn't even, I don't think, did we come out with the album? No.
The album was out.
The album was out.
Because everybody knew
the
all
songs,
the lyrics.
Yes.
They were singing.
But before they hired us, before they came, the album came out, and they hired us to close the festival.
The biggest festival in Greenland. Yeah. And Farfar was also playing.
Yes, Farfar and Vafande and
Tessa.
Tessa, yes.
Yeah.
And we blew the house.
Okay,
it was amazing. Crazy.
It was amazing.
It was beautiful.
Fantastic.
And that's the also the, there was a journalist present from these ladies' magazine, Danish magazine, that wrote an article about it there that night, I think.
Yeah, I saw that article. Yeah.
What about the lead singer? It's a woman.
Yes, Palit Mølgaard. Yes.
Okay.
And she has a beautiful voice.
She has an amazing voice. Yes.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
Do you understand the lyrics? and what does she sing about?
Okay. Well, all songs are different, right?
Okay.
But in good tradition with reggae, we are the belly of the society. So it's all about the weak part of the society and environment and love and. Smoking some good ones and, you know, just love and peace.
Yeah. Troels, I'm curious, tell me about how did you get connected with Fabricio and your first experience with going to Greenland and playing there?
I was connected with Fabricio by Farfar, I think, and they needed a keyboardist for their first show. And Farfar suggested me to Fabricio, and then I flew up there, we rehearsed and played.
You went to Greenland for a rehearsal? That's pretty cool.
Rehearsal and a gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. We rehearsed and it was a good experience.
how many?
A lot of passion.
how many gigs have you played there with them?
I'm not sure. Maybe Fabricio knew that better than me.
The first time we played only one gig, which was the big this big concert closing the festival. But then
roughly like 10, 12 gigs.
Oh, more. We have been playing in like maybe nine towns, and we made two concerts in every town.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
So
around roughly 20 concerts.
So all of the gigs have been in Greenland?
All the gigs in Greenland, yeah. Yes.
We had one in Tivoli.
All right, you played in Tivoli?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We played in Tivoli.
When was that?
August, July 31st, last summer. Yes. They want us, and we did also, Troels was not there because he had another gig. But we play also the North Atlantis Brugge.
Mm.
It was kind of a cafe concert, very, very...
It's by the Grønlandske Hus.
Yes, yes. Very cozy.
How many members in the band?
Oh, the full-blown band, we are, with the brass, we are 11 on stage.
Mm.
But usually we are only 9. So it's 2 keyboard players, bass player, guitar, drum, a rap, a lead singer, and 2 backing vocals.
You know, I'm thinking if when I have rehearsed with people, sometimes it can be difficult to get people in rehearsal because they have other plans and stuff. I mean, it must be very difficult for you guys to assemble everybody for a rehearsal, and it must be expensive. I mean, people have to go to Greenland.
You're correct. The logistics around this whole setup.
It must be difficult.
Pretty comprehensive.
But how do you manage to get everything, you know, to work with people coming from Denmark and
good planning, paying everybody a decent amount of money so they commit. Of course, we do not pay rehearsal, but every gig is played decently. It's good money, so it pay off, I guess. And then we did not rehearse very much. They are all very good musicians. And you know it very well that, of course, it's not always about music. Sometimes when you are with your fellow musician and you're touring, it's also a lot about who they are, right? And, you know, it's...
The chemistry between the people, kind of a bond.
And with these guys, we feel very good. I guess it's the same. I mean, for me, but I guess it's the same for them.
Great.
Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
You mentioned the name of the band a little while ago. Can you say the name again?
Yes, the name is Sauvastari.
Sauvastari. Yeah.
Sauvastari.
That's how you say it. Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's from Minik Hansen. He's the writer of all the lyrics. He came with the name. It's the hat of a fisherman. It's called Southwest.
Southwest.
Mm.
And funny, Greenland, Jamaica, where the reggae was born, is at the southwest of Greenland. And then, you know, Rastafari, Southwestari.
Yeah, of course.
I have the picture of the album here, which is the kind of famous fisherman guy,
yes,
with the yellow Sudvest, as you mentioned, with the pipe, and the pipe is blowing the red, gold, and green.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the name Sauvastari is on there. It's amazing. The titles on the album.
Johan, can you mention the titles?
I can't.
No, I know.
Told,
I
can
couldn't
you?
Either.
It's actually a problem when we are rehearsing because a lot of us don't know how to pronounce the song names. So it's like some of the Greenlandic people, they say a song name. We're like, what song? You're looking at your list and it's like all these,
just
all
give,
these letters.
Just give them numbers. Number five.
Yeah.
Do you speak Greenlandic?
A little, not fluently, but I can say basic words. But of course, I don't understand. I mean, a complex lyric like some of the songs, it's Chinese for me.
The guy who writes your lyrics, Minik, yes, is he a part of the band, playing in the band, or is just only writing the lyrics?
He's only the lyricist,
all right,
yes.
All right.
But he's considered by...
But he's a very important part of the project.
Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely,
yeah, yeah,
very important, yeah, yeah, yes.
I also read in some of the material that you sent me, tools that I think it was the journalist who was up there, that there's some kind of connection between Jamaica and Greenland being in an island, living on an island. How do you see the connection between playing reggae, living in Greenland, and Jamaica?
Well, there is a lot of similarities if you look at carefully. Both they are struggling with colonizers. Denmark is the colonizers of Greenland, and no matter what you want to, how you want to put it, but colonizer, it's a colonization, and there's no good colonizer. And there's the same can goes to Jamaica, right? Has been mistreated for centuries by the English, and then yes, it's an island. There's a lot of cultural pride in both cultures. And there is also, you wouldn't believe it, but Troels knows because he has been seeing the real Greenland. There's a lot of poverty. Mm. beside Nuuk. Yeah. Nuuk, it's rich. It's you know, the capital where all the business is made. But if you go around and see, oh my God, there is really a lot of people with not much.
You have gained quite some success with the album in Greenland and also outside Greenland.
Yes.
When did you see that this was actually a popular album? When did you realize that this was going well with the album?
And when we release it, actually it was so, it blew away the streaming. We had a streaming partner. You know, you need to have a middleman when you go on the platform streaming, right? And we have a middleman called TuneCore. We didn't know back then. And suddenly they wrote us and say, "You guys are cheating. We lock you. We stop you. We take you away from." And we tried to explain that there was no cheating. It was so popular. And Greenland is not on the map of the streaming. It's not on the map.
Can you explain that? Because I read some of that you're saying, but I honestly didn't understand.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Greenland belong politically to Denmark, right? It's in the kingdom of Denmark. It doesn't have an entity by itself on the streaming map or on the world. So whenever a Greenlandic listen to music, it pop up, it shows the streaming in Copenhagen. I guess, I'm not sure, but somewhere in Denmark anyway. So the guys at TuneCore and Spotify, they saw a lot of activity in one location. So they were suggesting that there was a bot, you know, it was a fake or whatever you call it. It's a fraud, right?
Yeah.
There are some artists that do that to increase their
the number of
of listeners,
streams.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Of course we didn't. And we try in all the possible way to explain the situation. They didn't want to. And in the meantime, we contact DGD in Denmark.
Danish distributor.
Yes. Because, you know, we were offline. They took us away completely from all the platforms. And DGD, of course, welcome us. And if you have a pro subscription with DGD, you have also legal support. So we went to their lawyer and explained the situation. The lawyer said, "Look, yes, you are absolutely right. You have all the rights. But can I suggest that you just forget about that money? It's gone. Bye-bye." And they took a little more than $10,000 from us. They kept
The streaming platforms did that?
Yeah. Yes.
And you couldn't get them back?
No. No.
What a shame.
Yeah, that's like 70,000 crowns, yes.
But did that happen also to other Greenland bands?
No, only to us. Only to us. It was not Spotify. It was this middle
distributor.
Distribution, yes. It's called TuneCore.
Yeah.
And we went on Google it, and we found a lot of indie, you know, independent labels who had been treated in this way. So I guess they are, you know, they spot you and say, "Oh, this is an independent. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, they have some money. Let's get those money."
So what is the status today now? I mean,
still, they still own us more than $10,000, but it's our.
So how do you get your music out?
DGD. DGD did. We have been obscured for, muted for a couple of weeks. Then we went to DGD, and DGD promptly put us online again.
Yeah.
And also DGD, they have a lot of experience with Greenland. So they would stupid us. Well, now we know, but we should have been going to DGD from the first place, right? Yeah. because they have a lot of experience with Greenlandic music.
And also they're Danish, so it's
yes,
it's easier to get in contact with them.
But
we only knew it.
But now you're on all the streaming platforms. You're on Spotify, Tidal.
Oh yeah, yeah, we are.
Everywhere. And I found you on Cubus yesterday. So so
we are everywhere. Yes,
nice. But the album, is it only out in digital digital format, or is it out in physical?
Only on digital.
Only on digital on streaming.
On streaming
services.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Lars, he's a vinyl guy, so he's a
But I also stream music as well, so it's okay. It's nice. Yeah.
I think it's time to listen to some music from this album. Right. Is there, Fabricio, is there a song that you wanna present from the album?
Yes, let's try to listen to "Where Si Marti Tarnek."
That's the first one on the album.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that I pronounce it wrong, but
okay.
they will forgive me.
Yeah.
What does it mean? Of course. Do you know what it means?
I don't know what it means, but I can tell you what is the song about. The song is about environment and how we are treating, especially up in Greenland, how we are treating the environment because we are greedy and because we pollute way too much.
Let's listen to it. Sawe Stari.
Piano pong pat sila nakput no na domingo tipat sula dama via dan usle go wako go sugat so ko sigin na kang ibipud at laging uwasad no na sa dun niyo sa episo so wang no dubut inuwisin na kay asuli sinik ko si yokbud inatisitsi ko damang may kakuban damang misunala na pad sila dun na kay o kalulak po king usinaktok no na sa wapud sa kumilak po kanaka na yapok isa kinarin at siyang uwero susuti si baktun ori utilis so it asuli pisaktun sosa mi asa minunak sa wang mipisakaktun sumida mani yaman no na may mani asigi mipipuping ok tida biya frigani uti sabodani nga sa tukuwati ginakasana tiganasan
bidi dumi eti eti misaktun dumi
aksuwi aksuwi
mingu titi su di minakayong ikada dokpat suni aktuti
suni aktuti
tunak su akpi sorsubo ulika
Marti Tarnek, Min utiti sudi mine rayungi Fjede dog bad suni akuti Nun ak su akpi sor suro
video as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This was Sour Stardy with yeah, I'm not gonna pronounce it. Troels, you want to give it a shot? Yes.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Where is Imarti Tarnek?
Nice
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a song recorded both video and the music in Greenland, and you say the music is recorded in your house.
The drummer, all the drums that were recorded in my living room. Yes.
Okay, and mixed by Farfar.
Mixed by Farfar.
The whole album.
The whole album.
Okay, and we were talking about before that you know the lyrics, and actually the lyrics is in the video. So if you yes. go on YouTube and see the videos, you can get a sense of what she's singing about. And this one was in particular about the nature.
Environment. Yes.
Yeah. So these topics. Troels, you mentioned also during the song that Pil B
is featuring on the
featuring on this album.
Yeah.
In you know how many songs?
One song.
Yeah. Okay. And he also performed with you guys in Tivoli?
Yeah, and also he came up for our first gig in Nuuk.
I guess one for festival.
One song.
Yes.
Yeah.
2 years ago, almost.
Only for one song, and yeah, all the way to Nuuk.
He brought his wife and made a trip out
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, yeah, so of course. Yeah.
Yeah, nice experience.
Yeah, nice.
And then you told you don't play on this album.
No.
But on the next album, you said, Fabrizio, that he will play. So there is a next album coming.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
There is a new album. It's on the making. 13 songs.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, roughly when?
End of this year, start of next year.
Okay. Another fact that you showed me during the song, this album is number one reggae album in Denmark on the chart.
It is, yes. In Apple Music, yes.
In Apple Music.
Yeah.
I mean, please, people, go and check it out. Go and check it out.
And another fact that I've seen here is that this reggae album, or this album, have been streamed in more than 100 countries around the world.
Yeah. Yes.
So
yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But I can see why. Because even though you don't understand the lyrics, I think the music has such a broad appeal to, yeah, it's really nice, and it deserves to come out everywhere in the world. So
yeah.
I think that's a nice thing. Yeah.
Do you have some gigs outside Greenland coming up or in the future? Do you know anything about it? Maybe a tour or?
Yes, we have in June we are going to Canada to a festival in Nunavut, which is one of the autonomous region of Canada, Inuit Canada. We are very pleased to go and play. It will be an experience, a life experience, to go in this place. Amazing.
Yeah, and the people should understand what you are singing about. Is it another
similar language? Similar. It's like probably right. From a Danish who is listening a Norwegian or Swedish.
All right, singing. Like that. Okay, so oh. It's pretty close. Yeah,
pretty
yeah.
close. Yes, okay. Yeah. And then we are going to Riddu in July, Tromsø, Norway.
Norway.
It's also a native festival. So there is a lot of there is a lot of Sami, I think, there Sami people.
Yeah.
So it's very, very interesting. Indigenous, yeah.
The whole band, 12 people?
Yes. Go no, we will be 9. We won't go with the brass, unfortunately.
Okay. But I know this guy can play the synth horn very well.
Yeah. Yes, he can.
Isn't
yes.
it Tors?
He can do it. Can
yeah.
do it. Yes.
Someone's got to do it.
It has to be done.
Yeah, I guess.
Fabrizio, do you have some? I mean, has this success surprised you?
Yes, a little. Yes, I have to be honest. Yes, it was not on this level. Well, we knew that we liked what we did, right? But we were not expecting this level of, also because I believe that, and this goes to my good friend Minik, who wrote all the lyrics, how lyrics, especially for Greenlandic, the storytelling is so important. And Minik has been doing an amazing job. And for the first time, I believe, generally, Greenlandic music has always this, oh, look at my beautiful country. Oh, how much I love you. Oh, yesterday night we got laid and you got pregnant. You know, all these very, I don't want to say silly, but very on the surface, volatile lyrics. Instead, Minik went bam, really, really deep, very deep cut through the Greenlandic society.
He went rebel.
Very, very, yeah. Talking about diversity, talking about Denmark, who is treating Greenlandic like crap, and about colonization, about, you know, respect, about pride to be a Greenlandic. And those, they are very important. Greenlandic, they embrace it immediately.
Would you say that you're the most popular band in Greenland right now?
I would say that,
yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No and doubt.
And on this video, there was a rapper who's a very famous rapper from Greenland.
Pilutak.
Yes, Pilutak Lumblel, yes.
And he cannot walk the streets without being signing autographs and
yes,
stuff
yes,
like
yes.
That.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
Big man.
He's also, in my opinion, he's also a brilliant rapper that he did embrace. You know, before he didn't know what reggae was. And then I show him and I say, okay, I would like you to rap close to. And today I think he can be a really ragamuffin, you know. Mm-hmm. He can really go for it.
But did you experience that with other of the Greenlandic musicians, that they didn't know how to play reggae, or maybe they didn't know it, and you had to kind of teach them how to play your music?
Yes, 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 absolutely. We all brought something to the table, right, which make the thing pretty special, I guess. For sure, the guitar player, he didn't know how to play reggae. There was no bass players available. I couldn't find a bass player who could play what I wanted. So I had to play there. I'm definitely not very much
So do you play bass in the band now when you play live?
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yes.
And
guitars. In the recording I play both guitar and bass. Mm. Live, there is one song, because there is one song who has an intro with a slide guitar.
Yeah.
Very bluesy. Mm.
Beautiful.
And so I played.
Now, with this success that your band has right now, I guess you also need to ride the wave, so to speak. I mean, you need to keep, you know, producing music and so to keep the interest going.
Yes.
So
yes.
You must be very busy now. Producing, of course, the next album, but
yes.
Also on maybe social media or how do you work with keeping the interests going?
That's a good question. we don't do much, honestly. I'm not very much into social media. I'm sorry. I really, it doesn't really, interest me very much. But definitely we are working on new music, and that's what I can do for the band, is to write other music, and also try to plan gigs and possible to participate to events.
So you play bass, you are musical arranger and the manager as well, maybe? You have a lot of...
Yeah, kind of.
Different...
Also the drummer and Pilutak, the rapper, we do a lot of managing. Mm. We have also a manager who is taking care of all the gigs in Greenland, which is very demanding, has a lot of traveling and... yeah, it's very complex and very expensive, extremely expensive. I mean, traveling in Greenland, it's insane expensive.
But how do you, I've never been to Greenland, how do you get from point A to point B when you are playing different cities and
you fly,
or
okay. And sail, yeah. These okay. Two options. Yeah. So, and both of them, they're expensive. Mm. And then of course, when you are traveling with 9 people, 10 with our own sound engineer, you have to plan it very carefully. So there is a lot of fundraising, mm. money fundraising. And then also we found out that it was a very, very good idea also to include playing for kids. So we did in every place where we went to, every town, we were doing a concert in the evening for audience and a concert, a previous concert for family.
In the afternoon.
Which was free. Yeah. It was free for everybody. And you should see the kids, man. Yeah. It's like, wow.
Nice. Fantastic.
That was the probably, for me, was the best concert that we were giving, because you could really see that we were giving them core memories, you know. They were like, and if we did touch one or two kids in each town, that in the future they will be musicians. Well, I think it's beautiful.
And you mentioned before that other Greenland musicians, they often speak about how beautiful the country is. Now you do it differently.
Yes.
How does the Greenlandic people respond to a different approach to lyrics in your music?
Yes, they like it. Okay. They like it very much. They sing along, and that was also, we were also very surprised when we played the first concert. They were singing all the songs.
Yeah.
We were so astonished. It was like, how? Mm. But they were doing it.
Also, the lyrics are more, how can you say, critical.
Mm-hmm.
So they respond well to that.
Yes,
in Greenland.
Critical, and also I would say poetic in some part.
Yeah,
more, as I told you, they are talking more to the belly of the people.
Okay,
so it was more with more content, with more meaningful.
Yeah.
Have you been playing live in most of Greenland?
Yes, we play. Yeah. We play
everywhere, almost everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. Yes.
Mostly everywhere. West Coast.
Yeah, the East Coast. We didn't go. We are planning to go. We would like to go, but we are talking about so crazy expensive travel.
Yeah.
I mean, for all of us, we are talking about probably more than 100,000 crowns just only to fly there.
Wow.
Yeah. They have to pay you good then if you have to come and play
yes,
there. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're almost at the end, but I want to ask you, you're a very successful band, and you know Greenland is in the media a lot these
yes.
days with Denmark and Greenland and Trump and everything. How do you see your band the next couple of years? Where do you wish this project should go?
We would like to play, to be able to play more international, probably. For sure. We would like to be able to, it would be so cool for us to go and play with other reggae bands, reggae festivals, we would love it. I'm pretty sure about it. And also, we want to keep continue to do music and send out a message. Is very important, you know. Greenlandic, they are very much against, or a big chunk of Greenlandic, they are very much against Trump. And Sauvastari, it's very much against Trump. There is no doubt about it. We even wrote a song about him.
Mm.
The Bozo.
The Bozo.
The Bozo, yes.
Well, let that be the final statement. I want to thank you both for coming here today, Fabrizio.
Thank you.
And Troels.
Thanks for inviting us.
And if people are interested in listening to your music, of course they can listen to the on the Spotify and everywhere else. Mm-hmm. But any other advice to where to learn more and listen more about your music?
Any streaming platforms, we are there.
Yeah. And YouTube, of course, as well.
And YouTube, yeah, some videos, yes.
Yeah.
You can find also some live gigs
that
we did, some songs live, yes.
I'm going to do the ending in Danish. That's a tradition on this program.
Go for it.
Hope it's okay. Tusind tak, fordi I lyttede med i dag. Husk, I kan følge os på Instagram, hvor vi lægger billeder op af Roughnecks anbefalinger og billeder af vores gæster. Husk, vi udkommer på alle podcast-platforme og på vores hjemmeside, som, jamen Lars, den har jeg stadigvæk ikke fået navnet på.
Bigup.dk.
Det er godt husket.
Ja.
Bigup.dk. Skråstreg fra Kingston til København, et eller andet.
Det tror jeg nok, ja. Der er et eller andet skråstreg. Jeg kan i hvert fald bare, jeg kan huske det der Bigup.dk, men det er,
det er rigtigt.
Med skråstreg fra Kingston til København. Det er rigtigt.
Og med det, tak for nu. Tak fordi I lyttede med. Vi høres ved i næste afsnit af Fra Kingston til København på gensyn. Og nej, på genhør, sku da.
Ja,
vi sidder jo ikke i fjernsynet her. Nå, på genhør. Og husk, at reggae skal ud til folket.